Marilyn Clark.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Women preachers. Mawuka Banji. Is that right? Mawuka Banji? I'm learning. What Pastor Walker did not tell you at that conference was that some of the pastors had come to him when they found out that I was to be ministering and had said that they didn't want to attend, at least attend my sessions. And Pastor Walker was very wise. He did not tell me that. But what he told them was simply that I want you to come to one session, and if you sense the presence of the Lord, the anointing, then you can stay. Again, Pastor Walker did not tell me that. But I'm very glad that God moved in that session. I think we actually had a few pastors get saved, didn't we, Pastor Walker? Hallelujah. Well, I'm delighted to be here. You have no idea how delighted I am to be here. My ministry, what I know, was birthed in Soweto, South Africa, under Pastor Mo Sasona, who I still consider to be my pastor. And my deep love for Southern Africa has come from my time there. I loved Africa so much that I have adopted my daughter from Africa. My daughter is Ethiopian. And she is now 4.5 years old. She wishes she could be here to greet you. In fact, I think she'd like to preach. But it's a great pleasure to be here. I want to just simply say that Pastor Walker and Haley are very dear friends of ours. We have a deep respect for them. And I am so glad God called them here. We, Tim and I, learned a lot from their ministry in Southern Africa. And so we've been all over the world. I've preached in over 20 nations, ministered in over 30 in different ways. And God has given you a great pastor. Amen? So we can be grateful. Hallelujah. Well, I am in Miracle Life Church. Is that right? What a great name for a church, Miracle Life Church. Do you have your Bibles this morning? Are you word people? Would you lift your Bible up for me so I know that you have them? Oh, fantastic. That's great. We value our Bibles, don't we? That's God speaking to us in the Word. We want God to lead us, but we need to value the Word. Amen? He speaks to us in the Word of God. Miracle life. I want to speak to you this morning about our miracle life. Who here is glad you're saved this morning? I'm glad I'm saved. You wouldn't want to have known me before I was saved. You certainly wouldn't have wanted to know my husband before he was saved. My husband was a drug user, drug dealer, womanizer, very naughty boy. But God changed him, amen. And God changed me. Has he changed you yet? Hallelujah. For anyone who is in Christ has become a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Hallelujah. And the greatest miracle you and I will ever experience on earth, greater than any healing, and I've been healed, greater than any manifestation or demonstration of the Holy Spirit, will be the miracle life that God has given us in Christ. Amen. That he raised us up by his Spirit. Hallelujah. That he took me out of darkness, brought me into light. That I'm no longer under the kingdom of Satan. But I'm in the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He jerked me out of death into life. And it's a miracle life. And I need to value that life. God changed my heart. Has he changed yours yet? Aren't you glad he changed our hearts? Ezekiel says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's a soft, tender heart. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. In Hebrews 8 verse 10, and you're going to have to be quick this morning. Are you quick? I'll give you a few moments. Hebrews 8 verse 10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. That literally means I will give my laws. And how has he given his laws into our minds? It's through the word. Amen. That's how the word of God, the law of God comes into our minds, is through the word, through listening, through studying, through hearing good preaching. But more than that, a far greater miracle than that, it is said that I will write them on their hearts. And he has written his law, his word, in our hearts as new covenant believers. This miracle life on the inside of us is now that God, by his spirit, has written his law in our hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Are you God's person yet? I'm God's person. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, we're speaking about this miracle life, this new nature, this new person, God's person that we have become. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race. Say, I'm chosen. God chose me. Oh, I like that. God chose me. Woo. He didn't have to, you know. God chose me to be his family. That's what chosen race means. It literally means offspring or family. Do you know that you are a member of the family of God? You're not like other people. Do you know that? You have a new father. You belong to God's family in the earth. We are a unique people and we should be acting and behaving uniquely. Woo! You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation. I love it. God's own purchased special people. Say, I'm God's own special person. Woo. He chose us. He chose us to put his spirit in us. He chose us to give us a resurrected miracle life nature. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the glory of your presence would fill us individually and flood us. So that we may display your perfections. I pray, Father God, that even now as the scales fall from our eyes as we listen to your word, that your glory would overflow into this church, that your glory and your presence would overflow into this nation as we begin to display the wonderful perfections and virtues of our God through this miracle life nature. Amen. Amen. So what is our new nature? What are the features of our new nature? What are the characteristics, you know, because you can, if you choose to, keep on living, acting, believing, thinking, and doing like the old man. It would be very unfortunate, given that he has given you a miracle life, a resurrection life, that he has given you a taste of his Holy Spirit, it would be incredibly bad stewardship to not understand the new characteristics and features of our new nature. What nature have we been given? We are offspring of God, his family. So whose nature have we been given? God's nature. Everyone say, I have God's nature. Ooh. Now it's on the inside of you. But what is it doing on the inside of you? Who is your father now? It's our heavenly father. And whose nature do we partake of and share and experience through this new birth? His nature. Whose nature was breathed into you and I? It was God's nature. Who now lives in you and I by His Spirit? God. Whew. I will walk in them and live in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Turn to the person next to you. Look them in the eyes so they know that you mean it. And say, you are God's chosen person. Say, you're peculiar, but I like it. Hallelujah. Huh. Our new nature has been made, restored in the image of God. Everyone say this. God's original plan is His eternal plan. Oh, now if we were in South Africa, I could preach in Sotho. Because just every now and then you say something better in Sotho, you know? Modimo hase mutu. God is not a man that He should lie, or the Son of Man that He should change His mind. How do you say that here? I bet it's better than English. God is not a man. He hasn't changed His mind about us. His original intention in creating you and I were to create offspring, family. We were created in His image. He breathed His Spirit. The life, man, no one else in creation received the Spirit of God but you and I. He breathed His Spirit into Adam and Eve. Created us on a level to fellowship with God. And His plan was to fill the earth with people that looked and acted and believed like God and represented Him in the earth, sons and daughters. Mudimu hasimutu. God is not a man that He should change His mind. So God's original plan is now being fulfilled in the earth. Where? In Miracle Life Church Lusaka. Because we are His chosen people. And we have a new nature, and it is God's nature. That He would fill the earth with His glory. If we're going to benefit from this nature, and if Lusaka is going to benefit from this nature, and if Zambia and the overflow into Africa is going to benefit from this miracle life nature, then we better know what this nature is, how this nature acts like, what this nature believes, so that we can yield, surrender, so we don't keep acting and believing and doing like the old man. But we start looking like our Father. So what is this nature? If we could sum it up in one word, what would that word be? Anyone has a guess? One word to describe this new nature. Woo! You got it, girl! You want to come up and preach? Love! Love! 1 John 4. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I'm so glad you and I can rely on the love God has for us. There's been many, many, many times in my life, some quite recently, where I have needed to rely and depend on the love that God has for me. Because it doesn't feel like there's much other love coming my way. And so we rely and depend on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Whoever lives, that's walks, acts, believes, talks. Whoever lets the love of God control and dominate them, they are the ones that live in God. And God in them. Turn to your neighbor. Look them in the eyes so that they know that you mean it. And say this. Say, I look just like my Father. And you do. That's the miracle of it. On the inside of you, you may never know it. You may never do anything with it. You may never let it out. But on the inside of you is your father's nature. Your father's likes and dislikes. Your father's character. Your father's deep, deep love for people is on the inside of you. And the key to a successful, victorious life, the key to living in all the blessings that we have been given in Christ Jesus, the key to partaking of all the promises of the divine nature is in this: walking and living and yielding and surrendering to the love of God that's in you. You understand that in the Old Testament, there were laws coming out. There were not just the Ten Commandments, but there were laws about everything, about how you would sit here. I mean, laws everywhere, whole books of laws. And they were given by the finger of God, writing on tablets of stone. Laws that really none of us could keep. They were so overwhelming and burdensome. But in this new and better covenant, what do we have? One law. One law that is the fulfillment of all laws, because Jesus was the fulfillment of the old covenant. One law that covers all laws. One law that if we allow this law to govern and control us, we will be able to reap, receive, and enjoy the benefits and blessings of God's new miracle life. And that law is the law of love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? That you love one another like the world loves? That you love one another like your mama loves you? Like you love one another like Hollywood tells us to love? Woohoo! That you love one another how? As I have loved you. Amen. By this shall all men know that Miracle Life Church Lusaka means what it says and says what it means. If you have love for one another. And it's going to be, if we learn to yield to it, a miracle kind of love. I've preached in villages all over South Africa. They're some of my favorite places to preach. And probably like villages in Zambia, when it comes to having evening services in a local church, there are not a lot of electric lights. And so they'll have the generator out, and they'll put one light, and that light will be above the pulpit. And like most churches in Africa, there is a lot of celebrating and dancing and singing, sometimes for up to 3 hours. That's where I learned to dance, you know, Soweto. And so you know what happens after 3 hours of dancing and singing with one light above the pulpit? Every moth, mosquito, cricket in the whole village has found that one light. Do you know how much protein I have consumed in villages while I'm preaching? Do you know how I learned to preach like this? But the thing about the light is we are attracted to the light. If we were all in darkness right now and somebody turned one light on, it didn't have to be even a big light. It just could be a cell phone light. Do you know where all our eyes would be drawn to? That one light. The eyes of the nation are looking for light. And that light is the miracle life nature. The love nature of God on the inside of you and I. And if we will surrender to it, yield to that love nature and allow that love nature to control our thoughts and our actions and our mouths. then every creature and every person will be drawn to the light of your life and my life. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, look them in their eyes, so they know you mean it. And say, I look just like my father. He has placed in us a deposit guaranteeing things to come. You see, in the Old Testament, those laws were written with the finger of God on tablets of stone. And they came with great holiness, great reverence. I mean, you understand, it came to a mountain that, you know, they were fearful even to touch. Even animals that approached the mountain would be stoned. I mean, the great reverence of this law that was given under the old covenant. But in us, in you and I today, in this new and far better covenant, God has by his finger of God is the Spirit of God, written in your heart and my heart, the law of love. Romans 5 verse 5. Romans 5 verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God has poured out his love into our hearts, not our heads. And if you persist, you and I persist in living out of our heads, living out of our natural reasoning, our natural understanding, our natural knowledge and experience of what love is and how love acts, then we will never tap into this miracle life nature. But he has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The same love that constrained Christ and compelled him to do what he did is in you and I. And we need to know this nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 says this. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. He has set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I love that. You put a deposit down on a house or on a car or an item that you seek to buy and purchase and own as your own possession. And that deposit says, I want you, I've got you, I've chosen you, and the day is going to come when you're going to be totally mine. I like that. So God looked at you and he said, I want you. I got you. The day is going to come when you are totally, absolutely spirit, soul, and body like me. And the deposit I place on you is what? The Holy Spirit. Woo! Now, I could just stop there and run around the building because I have never got over the fact that God chose to give me the same Holy Spirit that he gave Jesus. Come on. He's in you. What's he doing in you? What are you allowing him to do in you? What are we allowing him to do through us? Right now, he has shed. That literally means poured, spilled and flooded your heart with the love of God. That's what makes you different. That's what makes you and I peculiar, chosen, God's family, displaying his wonders in the earth. It's not what we know. It's not all this fancy stuff, how we wear nice suits and beautiful dresses and we come to church and we say, bless God, hallelujah, amen. It's not because we wear a cross or have a bumper sticker or, I don't know, have been confirmed or baptized. No, 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 no. The deposit guaranteeing that you are his possession is the Holy Spirit and he has shed his love abroad. I put it this way, the love of God in me is a taste of heaven. A foretaste of the atmosphere of heaven. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? Heaven, no strife, no division, no hatred, no gossip, no backbiting, no envy, woohoo, no jealousy, no criticism, yay, yay, yay. The atmosphere of heaven is pure and clean. Now, when I first was working in Soweto, I came in winter, and we would drive through, and if you came in the early morning or at night, you know what happened. They have the coal fires everywhere. And Soweto was down a little bit in a valley. And so you drive in, and it was like this orange glow. Orange glow. It was kind of spooky, actually. And once I was stupid enough to tell Pastor Ezekiel, I don't know whether you know Pastor Ezekiel here, I say, this looks like hell. You do not tell somebody that their home looks like hell. He said, no, Pastor Carolyn, inkazimulu inkaunkulunkulu. It means the glory of God. It looks like the glory of God. You know, heaven is the glory of God. His presence. The atmosphere of heaven will be so pure, so sweet, so unpolluted by hatred, strife, envy, division. It will be like we will be able to breathe for the very first time. I was in a meeting in Papua New Guinea a number of years ago, and it was an interdenominational meeting, and so we had people from churches all over the nation. There were the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Charismatics, and something phenomenal happened in that meeting. We were entered into worship, and it was like in worshiping God, we forgot our divisions. We forgot our differences. We forgot that sometimes even enmity and hatred that sometimes divides us, and we were worshiping God together. And I looked back at the edge of the room because I was up behind the pulpit, and I began to see this, what looked like a haze, like a fog, like a mist. It's very hot in Papua New Guinea, very hot. And so I rubbed my eyes because I thought there was sweat in my eyes. But as I kept looking, a cloud started to roll forward in the building. And people began to fall under the power of God, just like what would happen now if people started to fall off their seats into the aisle. And it was the glory of God. People had visions of Jesus. Amazing healings happened. People got saved in his presence. But what I remember most about that service was that it tasted like heaven. Just love. We loved one another. We loved one another. What could God do if we yielded to that love that he has shed in our hearts? What miracle could he do if we became true stewards of the love of God in us and allowed that love to control all our interactions with people? My goodness, what would God do? He has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. We're starting at Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only. Everyone say only. What is helpful for building others up. Can you and I say that we do that? I know I'm not there yet. I know sometimes there's not a day where I don't catch myself saying something that I think, ooh, ooh, ooh. The love of God on the inside of me says, mm-mm, mm-mm. Do you feel that sometimes? Am I the only person? You think a thought, you say something, and on the inside of you, the love of God goes, Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do you understand that love does no ill to its neighbor? So love is the fulfillment of the law. If what we say and what we do is hurting somebody else, then it is not the love of God in us. That it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed, again, a deposit, for the day of redemption. What's the quickest and easiest way to grieve the Holy Spirit in you? Not walk in love. Not talk in love. Not act in love. Now, I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit. Hey? I mean, if I am going to do anything God wants me to do and enjoy any of the fantastic benefits of this new miracle life, I need the Holy Spirit. He's my helper. He's my counselor. He's my friend. He leads me. He reveals things to me. He comforts me. Oh, thank God, Jesus. He comforts me. And the easiest way to grieve him is to take one step away from the love of God, that new nature. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, hatred. Can you believe Christians would be like that? Now, I've just been in Papua New Guinea. I think I was in a city that had the most strife and division and bitterness and contention of any city I have ever been in the world. It was like the people of the city hated one another. Even the Christians and the churches, that one story after another of church split, people throwing over their pastors, people talking against their pastors, people dividing churches, people hurting one another, division. Between brothers and sisters. Now, I know that surely would not happen in Zambia. Surely not here. And I looked at this and I thought, you know, these people are one generation away from being cannibals. Did you know that? It's true. True. I was born in Papua New Guinea. And The highlands areas and all through the nation, there were cannibalistic tribes. They ate one another. Ooh. I preached once in a city where the people of that city, you know their nickname for them? Was the ones who eat the shoes. It was a joke. Because the first missionaries that came to that city, they tricked them and they ate them. And they didn't realize that the shoes were not edible. So they ate the shoes. They became the laughing stock of the nation. Ha ha, you're silly, you ate shoes. One generation away from being cannibals, from devouring one another. And the scripture I thought of was this. Galatians 5 verse 14 says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Do you know what your sinful nature craves? Do you know what the works of the flesh are? What your old man wants to do? Strife. Contention. Do you know that's still in you? Up here? That's why his love is in our hearts. And we need to be people that are spirit conscious, that are new nature conscious, that are miracle life conscious people who become very aware that I am peculiar, I am different, and His love is in my heart, and my old nature wants strife. It wants envy, it wants hatred, it wants discord, it wants selfish ambition. But my new nature is the love of God nature. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Back to Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. How do we forgive? As God forgives. How can we do that? It's a bit of a miracle, isn't it? Because if you're like me, some people have hurt you. And they've hurt you deeply. And some of you have been hurt over and over and over and over again by the same people. How do we forgive? We forgive like Christ forgave us, like God in Christ forgave us. We forgive because we learn to live out of here and not here. We forgive because it is a God thing, a divine thing. For many of us, there is a root of bitterness, a root of hatred, a root, a deep, deep unforgiveness and pain that has gripped us because of the wrong that has been done to us. And we need to know how to be free from that so that we can yield and surrender to the love of God. Very quickly, what do we do to be children of God, to live and act and to walk in love like our Heavenly Father? Well, if you have found yourself in that place of deep bitterness and resentment, maybe there's thoughts going over and over and over and over and over in your mind about what that person has done for you and how they've hurt you and what you think about them and what you'd like to do to them, because remember, the flesh still wants that strife and enmity. Then we need to know how to be free from that. Again, we must live by the Spirit and be people who are conscious of the Spirit. We must forgive and be vigilant to forgive. And to forgive by faith. And to forgive because we know the power of forgiveness is in us because He forgave us. You know, once I was in a conference, a pastor's conference with a certain denomination. I was invited, it's an international denomination, by the assistant head of that conference. I made sure that I was invited because the host pastor had had some trouble with me in the past. Can you believe it? Anyone having trouble with me? I can't believe it. And so I made sure it was, you know, okay that we came. I was hosting actually some of their European pastors. They were in our house and we were taking them to the conference. And so we went that first night. And at the end of that first night, the same individual, the second in charge of this whole worldwide denomination, came to me and said, "Why are you here?" This man invited me. He said, "Why are you here? You need to go. We don't want you to come back." Hey! And Tim and I just picked up our things and we still hosted those pastors and drove them to the conference. But as we left that night, we got in our car and what I knew I had to do was forgive and forgive straight away. You got to avoid that route. We got our Bibles open. We looked at 1 Corinthians 13. We read the passage and by faith, we forgave and released it. Did it come back to our thoughts sometimes? Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you now. Was I able to forgive? Yes. Was I able to still work with that denomination? Yes. We forgive by faith We get rid of the bitter root by turning up the volume of love. Oh, that's a good one. You know, when the devil's after you to get into hatred, strife, discord, envy, you better get back at him hard. When those thoughts come, you better say, no. And you turn up that love volume. You know what I mean? What did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Woo! That's what I mean. You turn up that love volume. You fight back. I was once in authority in a ministry under a man who, I don't know if he was even saved, I tell you what. Things he did, yay! Cursed me out, treated me like a dog, treated the other people in the ministry like they were dogs. Ish, it was hard. And I sought God what to do about this because I was in submission to him. How to handle what he was doing, how he was treating me and the others. And the Lord said what he said, bless, do good, pray for. I was there by faith. I had no money. I had a very small income. I was believing God for soap and toothpaste. I took what money I had. I put it in an envelope and I slid it under his door. Hey, that's turning the love volume up, eh? Because all you want to do is... You know what he did the next morning? He came to me with this really snooty, you have that word here, proud look on his face. He waved my envelope under my nose and said, look what somebody did for me. Na, na, na. Hey! I turned the love volume up. Do you know, by the end of my time in that ministry, I was promoted over this individual. And he actually ended up, we ended up reconciling. And he ended up being the individual that first organized my first ministry itinerant trip. When I first started to itinerate, he organized that first ministry for me. How do you get rid of the bitter root? Do good, bless, pray for. Because that'll keep you out of the blessings of God. It'll keep you from participating in the divine nature that is in you. I wish I had more time. Turn to the person next to you. Look them in the eyes and say, I love you. I forgive you. Will you forgive me? Oh, come on. I think I hear some wives dancing. Can I have the musicians up here, please? Caesar. What could God do through you? What could God do through this church? If the distinguishing feature of our lives becomes his love, if we become known for this supernatural, miraculous, peculiar, kind of odd, strange way we love one another.